no one can mistake that voice. But of course, people have never heard it before, didn't know. I have to remind everyone that when they ask questions and make comments, to preface it with Sabrina here, Sally here, Dennis here.
That's right.
It's still Sharon talking.
I wanted to share something with you, Dennis. You know Barry's friend, Jim, the famous
yes.
Jim? Okay. Well, Barry heard that he was in the town yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I lose track of time.
Yeah.
And so he went to locate him, and he's considering being on one of the calls. And that would be such a mind-blowing, mind-boggling experience because from him came just tons of information, and you know, I mean, we credit a lot to David Hudson, but I think Jim really deserves a lot of credit.
Well, I've been asking for ages. You know, can we get Jim on a conference call? And Barry's been doubtful. I mean, Barry posted a post on the SWG forum last night saying that we're showing a photo of Jim in his huge Ford, something like a truck, Avalanche. And,
oh, yeah?
Saying that he's in town and he's willing to do a telephone interview. Isn't that right, Barry?
Right. Okay. Yep.
Tell us where that's at, because I'm all enthused about the possibility of having him again.
Now, how is my voice loud enough?
Yeah, yes, plenty loud.
Is it too loud?
No.
Because it's too loud on the recording, so I had to.
No, it's just right.
Okay. Good. It may still be too loud on the recording, but I'll talk quietly.
No, don't talk quietly. It's just right.
Well,
but I was just saying to Sharon while you were away doing the sound check that when you say something, please remember to say this is Barry and then go, because I think you're probably just not used to announcing yourself because you're used to doing the presentation solo or in partnership with someone else. So quite a few times you've popped up and made really good comments, and you've been this kind of, I wonder who that is.
Hmm.
Most people who wouldn't know what your voice is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if I forget, feel free to say that was Barry.
Yeah, I've already done that.
Because.
Bang, back in your court.
I forget.
I know. Hint, I made a note to myself to remind you.
Yeah. I forget to remember to read the notes.
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
Barry, you've got the free. You're the connector, huh? To the two.
Yeah. Rooms? Yeah. Now, should I call up again and re-enter a moderator number?
Yeah. Because that way, you won't get cut off when I mute the whole room.
Sounds like a plan.
Welcome to the Conference Center, a service offered by GoConferenceCall.com. Please enter your conference ID followed by the pound sign. Thank you. Please hold while we validate your conference ID. Conference ID accepted. If you are the moderator, press the star key now. Other, please enter your PIN followed by the pound sign. Please enter your PIN followed by the pound sign. Press 1 to enter the conference. Press 2 to enter the extended menu. Thank you. Your conference will now begin. For a menu of available commands, press ** at any time during the conference. There are 4 participants in the conference.
Hello, can you hear more people? Hello, who are you?
Oh, hi.
Barry's back.
Barry's back. There's a couple of others. Hello?
Yeah.
Say who you are. Tell me who you're from. More incognito.
Maybe they need to...
Sorry, who is that?
You do need to press *7 well, for those people.
I haven't muted the call. No one should be muted at the moment unless they've just muted themselves. But I can mute the whole call and I'll block out anyone who hasn't got the moderator code.
Yeah.
You'll be blocked.
Yeah, I read your instructions there. That's really good. can you hear well with the volume? Is a bit low here.
I can hear perfectly well.
Okay.
In most phones, you can actually turn up the volume of the phone.
Yeah, we can do that.
Can all you other guys hear me?
Yeah, you're fine.
Hey, David?
Yeah?
Where'd you grow that accent?
Which accent? it's a mixture of English and Australian.
That's what it sounds like. So where are you living now?
We're in northern New South Wales in Australia.
Oh, far out. Which part?
Coffs Harbour.
Do you know Coffs Harbour?
Ah, yeah, I love Coffs Harbour.
Yeah. So whereabouts are you?
In a little town called Currumbin on the south end of the Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah. The bird sanctuary up there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That's just over the hill from me.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I thought I could hear them in the background there.
Well, you can from time to time. Because I've got a bird feeding station on my balcony, and sometimes it's a real ruckus.
Yeah.
they just go mad. I get the lorikeets attack the white cockatoos.
Okay, yeah.
The lorikeets are little parrots that are around about 5 or 6 inches high. We've got lorikeets
here ourselves, yeah.
Very sweet. Who else we got on the call? Say something.
Is it someone else there?
they'll pipe up when they're ready.
Yeah. Do you have these calls regularly?
Say again?
Do you have the calls regularly?
Oh, yeah.
Once or twice a month.
Live alchemy calls and the first weekend of the month.
Okay.
And this is our mid-month call with people who aren't necessarily alchemists. But have subjects they want to discuss really in the metaphysical alchemical arena. Such a guest is our guest today, who's quite a remarkable creature but wouldn't call herself an alchemist.
Mm.
Or alchemy is something she does in the rest of her life, not necessarily with substances.
Yes, that's right.
Like I do.
And what
so, do you so, so you, are you guys learning to make almost out of the Pacific Ocean yet?
Not yet. We really want to.
Yeah, we sort of read up a bit about it, yeah.
Well, any time you're up here on the Gold Coast, pop around to my place and I'll put you through a live hands-on tutorial.
Beautiful.
Oh, that sounds great. Thanks very much for that. That's very generous of you.
Thank you. Yeah, we will.
Well, it's very fun, actually, to do it with someone else, just so long as someone else has got a decent vibe. I've made almost with other people hanging around who aren't quite up to scratch, and the almost isn't as powerful as it would be with someone who's tuned in. Because the water has memory.
Absolutely.
And the water
will
remember the vibration of the people who are there.
Yeah.
That's
why I say don't have an argument with someone and then drink the water.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you taking any other ormus? Just what you make?
I take a few ormus now. Who else we got just come in and join?
Greetings all. It's Lou Harris from Tucson, Arizona.
Lou Harris from Tucson.
Yeah.
Now what temperatures did Tucson get up to last summer?
I don't want to talk about it. It's about 110.
No.
Fahrenheit.
Ow. Yeah. We just had someone else come on. Who is that?
This is Alex from the Sunshine Coast.
Hi. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you.
And someone else just arrived. Who we got?
Rich in Buffalo.
Rich in Buffalo. Now, there's a place that gets really bloody cold.
Yeah.
What kind of temperatures do you get down to, Rich?
Probably down to zero in the winter a couple days a year.
Zero?
Yeah.
Are you talking zero Fahrenheit?
Definitely Fahrenheit, yeah.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of snow. We're noted for that. We're at the wrong end.
So there's a fairly, there's an extreme of temperature. Who else have we got to come on? It's another incognito person. And, so, this morning, it's morning for me, and it's the morning for a few of us. You guys in New South Wales, at least you've got another hour up your sleeve. Queensland doesn't do daylight saving time, so it's always earlier for us. It's like Arizona in the US.
But your curtains last longer.
How could that be?
Yeah.
How do the curtains know the time? Very intelligent drapes. The really intelligent drakes just open themselves at the right time and just close themselves without any mess or fuss just at the time when the sun's coming in at acute angles to make the room too hot.
Yeah.
I like drakes like that.
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis, what's the kind of bird that sounds like a drip?
What is the kind of bird that sounds like a drip?
I don't know. I got a recording of it from Mullumbimby, and I just...
It could be a lyrebird.
Like that?
It could be a lyrebird.
Yeah, something
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it's a lyrebird, but I've forgotten. The locals in here are called the whip bird.
Yeah.
The what bird?
Whip. Like W-H-I-P?
Huh.
Like you get whipped?
I call it the drip bird, but I don't know anything. No,
yeah. might have misheard a local talking about the birds.
No, I just, because it sounds like something water dripping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could get that. I'd shoot my imagination.
Hi,
hello,
Michael,
welcome. Who else we got?
Hi, Dennis. Michael from Seattle here.
Hi, Michael from Seattle. What a charming city Seattle is. It's got a geological location and harbor, pretty much like Sydney.
Oh, really?
It's got a big, gorgeous harbor, and Sydney's quite remarkably similar.
It's beautiful here, but it's soggy wet right now.
Sydney doesn't rain every 2 days or three. Who else we got? Come on. Say hello.
Hi, this is Alan in Scotland.
Hey, Alan.
Hi, folks.
Hi, Alan.
Is this a better time for you?
Well, welcome.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Not as bad as 2 o'clock in the morning, I can tell you. Didn't need to drink half a bottle of whiskey to stay awake. Of course, I stopped all that.
Alan is one of our most committed dialers in, and has played up some most extraordinary hours to participate in these calls, and has recorded them too. Most of the recordings Barry has judged to be superior to his, that Alan has done. So thank you for that, mate.
That's okay, right there.
So anyone else we got come on?
Question there, Dennis.
Yes, mate.
This is Lou Harris. Tucson again, but shall I submit? Is Deb of Maine going to take some questions? I got some I could submit if you want me to submit them to you. Things for
yeah, in fact, if you do that, I can't remember Deb's email address right now, but if you send them to me, I'll send them on to her.
I gather
I think it's
something
like one. No, well, she's been down in Costa Rica.
Oh, I
so I've been threatening to get her on this call for the last couple of calls.
Yeah.
But the connection has been unreliable or something.
I think she's off the planet myself.
Well, she is a tad off the planet.
Well, I mean,
occasionally
really,
I get her on the planet long enough.
I don't think she's here.
But occasionally I get her on the planet long enough to have a decent, valuable, and long, coherent conversation with her. Hello, who else we got?
Hey there, it's Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
Is that the Thomas?
Cherokee, going North Georgia, Thomas.
Great.
Yeah, that's Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Hello.
Welcome.
Why, thank you. There were 12 people here.
Yeah, well, we're low on numbers today.
Well,
and we've got to remember there's a couple of rooms, so there'll be more than that. There's just probably 12 in the benefactors room at the moment. That's still low numbers for today. Hence the not so many beep, 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 beeps as people come in. What was amazing was the last call we had with Danae, she was phenomenal. She communicated so comprehensively that there weren't any questions. She answered all the questions as she went and really told some quite outrageous stuff. I would have expected questions coming out the gazoo, but no one said anything. I'm going, are there people on the call? Is there anyone actually listening? And at the end of the call, I had it set so you could hear people leaving, and I hear beep, 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 beep. I'm going, I'm counting about dozens of people leaving, and I'm going, they were all on, they wouldn't say anything. They must have been just so blown away by all the stuff that Danae had said. Hello, we just had someone else arriving. Who is that? 2 people arrived. Who is that?
lurkers.
Hello. They're lurkers.
Hey, don't do anything too don't do anything too special. I'm going to add the other phone line on.
Okay.
Thank you for calling the conference center. Please enter your passcode followed by the pound sign.
I'm Angela. As I understood it, the benefactor's line was supposed to be open 20 minutes early.
So is that? Are you in the mountains or in the? Are you in the desert?
Oh, that's blue in the desert. It's 4 p.m. here. Excuse me.
I just joined the two numbers.
Oh, great! Well, hello to you guys. Whoever's in the free room.
Hello,
Barry.
Yes.
I just tried to get on the benefactor line, and it won't accept the code that was on my computer.
Huh.
I did it 3 or 4 times, and it kept saying incorrect code.
Well,
Is it 3567315?
I dialed 3567315 pounds. So that means I'll be cut off at the end.
Huh. Before
it's over. They wouldn't take it.
No. If you're in the benefactor's room, that's the code for getting into the benefactor's room.
Did you dial the benefactor's number?
I dialed 712-43.
That's it. That's
what?
It.
8700.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I did it like 5 times, and every time they said incorrect code.
Huh. I just dialed and just got in, so I don't know. That's weird.
I'll try again.
Mm-hmm.
Try another phone, maybe.
Yeah, okay, I'll try again. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else on the free room?
Yes, this is Angela in Atlanta.
Hello, Angela.
Hi, buddy.
Angela?
You might as well...
Angela?
Yes, hi.
Hi. I did ask Jim some questions. I talked to him yesterday.
Yes.
And I've asked him for more information about his conversations with the biblical Abraham.
Yes.
And he doesn't remember much. It's just mostly technical stuff that Abraham talked to him about. And I did record some of our conversation, but I'm going to try to get him onto a conference call.
Okay, that would be interesting. Did you discuss my
this
suggestion
line is now
about
muted.
Trying hypnosis with Jim?
Jim isn't interested in that.
Okay.
I'm a hypnotist, and I've offered to hypnotize him. And he is not interested.
Yeah, because, a lot of times that will extend information that people think they forgot.
Yeah.
Barry, did you cut yourself off?
I'm not cut off.
I like it.
Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
We'll be back.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
That's the gym that has
so listen.
The ozone.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. The remarkable gym that I'm looking forward to having as a guest. He doesn't have to have necessarily full disclosure.
This line is now muted.
A pound of gold out of a gallon of water. everyone want to hear that conversation.
Oh, yeah. So you can hear me too, Dennis?
I'm sure that he'd want to discuss it given the Patriot Act 2.
Right.
There's a specific provision, I'm told, about
I hear.
Illegal. Make gold out of water.
Dennis, can you hear me?
Who knows
Dennis? Dennis?
Thomas, do you know about that? Now, if where about in the Patriot Act is it? So I Googled that last night and I couldn't find any references to it.
Dennis, can you hear me?
Barry, this happened to me on the last call.
I think I've been muted.
Can you hear me?
Because I had a friend ask.
I can hear you, but I can't hear Dennis.
No,
or Dennis
last
can't hear me.
Call, there were about three of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember that.
We could hear Dennis. Well, but they couldn't hear us. We could hear Danae, and we'd ask questions, and they couldn't hear us.
Uh-huh.
And there was a gentleman from, I think, the East Coast and Tennessee, and I was from California.
So who else have we had joining the call? Who else can we say?
Well, I'm going to see what I can do to get back on the other phone.
Yeah, we were all disconnected.
Okay.
No one is saying
Sharon here yet?
Yeah, I am. I've just been listening.
Dennis?
Hi, Lou. How you been?
Okay. Old and fat.
Hello.
Thank you for calling the conference center. Please enter your passcode followed by the pound sign.
Any of the techniques that Barry's taught? I have tried only one, and that is putting oil enormous in the jar.
And let me see.
And then
using the oil. I'm going to hit star, which is the moderator of YouTube, guys.
Dennis?
You have to hit *7 to unmute.
Dennis?
Oh.
Hello?
And can anybody hear me?
All calls.
Yes.
Yes.
I can hear you.
Sharon,
I'm calling from Washington,
yes.
D.C.
All right, you're on. All right, so here's the thing. This is Sharon Love.
The following conference commands are available to the moderator. To return to the conference from the menu and use the commands, press **. To continue the conference after the moderator hangs up, press *0. To dial out, press *1. To record a conference, press *2. To increase your volume, press...
You're on.
Well, thank you, Dennis.
Welcome.
Smelling
warmly, press
huh?
Those numbers.
To begin recording this conference, press 1. To quit, press *. This conference will now be recorded.
Oh, we're recording the conference. But what I found is after... It was a Jim product. HR, Hard Rocks. That's what HR stands for.
Hot Rocks.
Jim's product that I used first, that was in February of 2001. So I'm going on 6 years now with Ormus. And his product, I think Barry says that it was primarily...
This line is now muted.
...with a little bit of gold. Unfortunately, it's not available anymore. Maybe after we get Jim on a conference call and get him back in the Ormus loop, he'll start producing it again. It is by far the most powerful stuff I've ever had, but I am not, you know, really experienced in a lot of Ormus. But it was after using Jim's products and doing some tap water that I found that I could smell it. I could smell it in the air. If I'd walk into a room and I knew that there was trap water in the room because I could smell it. I think that's how people find water. People who claim to be able to smell water are smelling the Ormus in it.
What does it smell like?
Are you there?
What does it smell like, Sharon?
I feel like I'm talking all by myself here. I don't hear anybody.
No, we're listening. We're listening.
We're here, but
all right. Well, where should I go, Dennis? I sent you a list. And
I tell you what.
Yeah.
If you've got the list, just start anywhere on it.
All right.
And
I was wondering.
And amble and meander through that list.
Well, that's what I'm going to do then.
Before you do.
Yes.
Before you do, how do you smell Ormus? I mean, what does it smell like?
Oh, what does it smell like? That's a good question. What I realize is that it's not the kind of smell that hits the olfactories in the nose. It's some other sense that seems to be related to smell. I think that some people have had the experience of coming upon a stream in a pristine area and tasting the water, and it has that really sweet, refreshing taste. And as you bring the water up to your face or your face up to the water, whichever the case may be, there is a smell that you recognize. If you've had that experience, that's what Ormus smells like. As a matter of fact, not only does Ormus have a smell, but there's a vibration, and particularly gold. There was a gentleman in northern Washington who came to one of Barry's early presentations, and I couldn't get within 10 feet of this man, and I would start getting a headache, and I didn't understand that. And later, after the end of the presentation, he pulled out some Ormus that he had in his pocket, which was gold, and it was that green color, that kind of, I forget that color of green, it's kind of a yellow-green, and was showing it to Barry, and I realized that's what I was feeling. One of the most unusual experiences I've had was actually going to Barry's house in eastern Oregon. Barry has so much Ormus in his house, so much electrical, things in his house and magnetic things in his house, that his house made me dizzy just walking in the door. Sitting in his living room is enough to make someone like me high. And, of course, he pulled out a bunch of different Ormuses for Bill and I, my husband, to examine, and I was smelling them all. And before he told me to stop, he passed one vial to me, and he says, and this is made from acid. And I opened the lid, and I took a big whiff, and it just about knocked me over. I coughed, and my husband said he saw a plume of smoke come out of my mouth. My lung condition cleared up instantly. I had no more lung problems. As a matter of fact, my lung condition cleared up measurably from that point on, just smelling this really strong acid Ormus. But if anybody ever gets an opportunity to get to Baker City, you have to stop in at Barry's house. Well, announced, hopefully. I don't know if he'll appreciate me saying that.
Well, the interesting thing is that one of the things that I've posted on quite a few times is how the Ormus and the people who make Ormus are totally anomalous on that power that supports a level of consciousness scale that supposedly goes from 1 to 1,000. And when I doused the level of consciousness of Barry's house, it was 75,000. On that 1 to 1,000 scale. So Barry has got such an aliveness going on in this place, I've never been to it, that I actually, I never doubt Barry's level of consciousness he was living at, but you can be sure it's a lot higher than the house, because the house is dragged up by the beam. And so
it's
not surprising.
So
Yeah, it's not surprising what you just said, because Barry's, from my doubting, determined that he's living in a very, very elevated location.
And his car. There's this phenomena, if you carry Ormus around in your car, that people have reported getting a smear on their windshield. And the smear doesn't walk off. It doesn't go away. There have been reports of people having to basically get rid of their car. And I'm not refreshed on the story, on the particulars of the story, but there is a story relating to Jim's car after he had that accident, that Ormus accident. And when he got into it, the car wasn't involved in the accident as far as I recall, but it was just Jim driving in his car, riding in his car. And it was, he kept telling the insurance people that his car was totaled. And this is a story that is better told by Barry. But the insurance people said, well, what's wrong with it? Well, it doesn't work, you know. So finally they sent a gentleman out to test it. He got in the car, driving the car away, and got, you know, a half a block down the road, jumped out of the car, and just wouldn't get back in. They treated it like it was toxic waste. But there is Ormus that begins around that kind of field, around the motor and whatever it kind of field that a car generates, it causes, it activates the Ormus that's traveling. There are people who have so much.
But did the insurance company tie up?
Yes, I believe that was the end of the story. Yes, the insurance company did agree that the car was total. So I have Barry's car. Barry's car has a film in it because Barry likes to, you know, when he does presentations that are within driving distance, he does like to bring all of his supplies with him. And also Barry emulates Ormus. And what happens when we become saturated with Ormus, we do begin to emulate it. But, you know, the experience that I posted to the Ormus and Spirit list that I had last week was an experience, an Ormus experience, that did not require me actually taking any Ormus. It just required me moving into the space, the Ormus-like space. And I feel that I've had enough Ormus experiences that I can move into that space more easily. And we begin to generate, after a certain saturation,
this line is now muted.
Ormus. So people can even be thinking, this has happened to me, just be in a happy mood, thinking warm, loving, uplifting thoughts, and whether you're actually actively taking Ormus or not, you're generating it. You get this film on the inside of your windshield. So that's kind of an interesting side effect after perhaps maybe long-term Ormus exposure, or like in Jim's case, an intense Ormus exposure. Now I had levitating experiences, and in those experiences, they weren't totally levitating, but and they weren't necessarily experiences that I enjoyed. I've had a lot of experiences that I have enjoyed a lot more. But I was sitting with a group of people. We were listening to a presentation by Jim Carter. Jim Carter had a company called Twilight. Jim Carter is now deceased. I don't know what became of the company, but he didn't call his products Ormus, but they were. And as he shared some of his stories, he allowed us to drink the water that he had made and try some of the products that he had. And by the end of the program, which was maybe an hour, my chair lifted up off the ground and then sat back down. I thought we were involved in an earthquake, and I explained to everyone around me, you know, did you feel that? That was an earthquake. Did you feel that? But nobody felt it, and then it did it again, and it maybe did it three times. Finally, I gave up. Nobody was feeling it. Well, that later that week, using some of the products from the Twilight Company, it happened three more times. But this time it wasn't just a little chair. It was a big overstuffed chair. And I recognized eventually that it wasn't an earthquake and that it was in some way a form of levitation as the chair lifted off of the ground. Subjectively, it felt like the Kundalini energy started as a big mass down in the base chakra and slammed up like a super ball, as though there was a glass ceiling at the top of my head. And in that upward thrust, I experienced a quick sense of levitation, and the chair jumped. Each time I was sitting, so I don't really know what that's all about. But I've had experiences where the lid on my blender, the magnetic blender, levitated. And this was, I felt, because of a certain amount of raw ingredients that when blended together and whipped in a vortex of a magnetic field caused the blender lid to levitate. This happened more than once, and it was striking. So the idea that things can levitate, I think, is still out there, but how many people have experienced it to any degree is, you know, I've moved objects without touching them and starting Ormus. And I think that's part of, you know, kind of like the same idea. Even though it's not exactly levitation, if something is to move on across the table, it sort of has to have something to propel it. And
as you brought up,
there
may
was.
I ask something? Hello.
I wanted to share with everyone. I don't know if everyone on the talk today knows Barry. Maybe they know Barry, know of Barry. But if you're kind of new to Ormus, and I heard Dennis talking with a couple in Australia, it sounds like you're kind of new to Ormus. Barry is basically the reason why we have these conference calls. Barry is the reason that we have information out there about Ormus. And basically, Barry is the reason why we're all joined together at any level, whether we're old-timers or newcomers. And Dennis decided to help Barry. Barry dedicates just about every waking minute of his day to keeping the Ormus home life burning. And when I met Barry, and if you haven't, by the way, I was just going to finish my thoughts here. If you haven't had an opportunity to investigate Barry's website, you know, you're going to just be totally amazed. He has collected and been very fanatic about keeping information out in the public arena so that it's out there for everybody, and regardless of what happens in the future, we all have an opportunity to access this information, learn from it, and to grow from it. And so when I first met Barry, he was still kind of new at giving workshops, and I was sort of called by what I wanted to do to make personally, that I wanted to encourage him in that effort, getting the word out. So I helped sponsor several other workshops in Western Washington, where I was living at the time. And as Barry talked, you know, he's very scientific. His And we had a lot of, you know, historical data and a lot of scientific data. But I told him that there's a lot of people like me who want to hear, you know, that science and history just don't really ring our bells. And that if you want to connect with these people, you need to bring out different aspects of Ormus. He and I talked about Ormus and love. And Barry began introducing the fairly well-accepted ideas that when you move into an Ormus experience, it is a loving experience. It is an experience of self-love and that's reflected outward into the world around you. And he's had, you know, certainly had his share of personal Ormus experiences. And so he began to began folding those kinds of ideas into his talk. And when he did, I remember this one particular time, we were in a small room. There were maybe about 12, 15 people in the room. And as Barry's talking, I could feel the Ormus energy taking over the room. With most people, what they felt was they were feeling happy. They were feeling elated by and inspired. They didn't recognize because they didn't have that kind of you know, history with Ormus. They didn't recognize that it was they were having an Ormus experience. I can specifically tell when Ormus is involved and when it's not. And he was emulating Ormus. Matter of fact, I saw plumes of fog-like stuff coming from his mouth as he was talking. And when Barry included the word love, instantly I saw three angels around him, one standing very close to his right arm, but just a little bit behind, so, you know, more like at his shoulders.
A right-hand angel.
I guess he needs one. He's, you know, got two left feet. So it was, I think, it was a turning point. It was a turning point for the Ormus movement because it began to move from the scientific and the historical into something that's more ethereal, more, I think, in my opinion, more impactful to people. And so I do continue communicating messages on through the Ormus community and through the Ormus group that are more spiritual. And I don't mean spiritual like, you know, I mean more heart-based. That's probably what I'm trying to say. Because I think as you move on with your Ormus experience, you do find that heart-based center, and it becomes the platform for the rest of your life, for all of the aspects of your life. You know, you don't move out of your heart and into your work situation and leave your heart behind, because as Ormus becomes the work of Ormus starts working through you, there is that transmutation that takes place. Ormus is our elements, you know, we think of Ormus as elements that are transmuted into the alchemical processes, into substances that we consume. Even if it's, you know, just water, we do something to the water to emphasize that transmutation property. And when you become saturated with the Ormus, you become a transmuter. You become a transmuter of negative energy. You don't have to be guarded. You don't have to be armored. Your structures become, you know, limp and you find that you can flow more easily. And I think staying in that, the longer that we can stay in that, I mean, I call myself a sensitive, but I am no more sensitive than anybody else. The only thing that I feel may differentiate me from other people is that I'm aware of my sensitivity. And I think that becoming aware of what is moving you on the inside and the tides of your internal forces, those things, the awareness is what's going to activate your and empower you. If you're not aware of these forces, you can never move into manifestation and empowerment. And period. That's the end of that talk.
Now, Sharon, we were talking before everyone came onto the call.
Yes?
About how you do courses of instruction for people to communicate with their pets, right?
That's correct.
Sorry, I'm making it noisy. So what's one thing that you could tell people on the call how to get more attuned to the life forms around them, be it people, animals, or babies?
I think that many of us have secret beliefs. I think anybody who's ever attended, let's say, this kind of call, who's ever attended, let's say, a class on animal communication, has ever made one small step into investigating the more spiritual, etherical, you know, non-mainstream sorts of interests. You have, that is an indication that you have an underlying belief. And the more you can, for instance, I'm here, here on the call, and I am a regular contributor to the Armas group, and I do these things because, as I see, I hope that people can begin to question their own beliefs, begin to wonder, and begin to counteract our societal constraints. So we're born into a belief system.
The moderator has disconnected.
We lost the moderator?
I was just dialing in from my other phone.
There's an awful noise. Oh, okay.
Yeah, somebody needs to mute their phone.
And so the first thing
can
you
all
do,
talk louder?
And that's what I spend probably, my classes are about 3 hours long, and I spend at least 2 hours in a class doing demonstrations, showing videos, giving examples, having people pull things, pass them around, and come out of your belief system. If you ever had any curiosity, if the question ever arose in your mind, am I psychic? Can I do this? Can I? The answer is always yes. The fact that you ask the question means that the answer is yes. So, batting your self-denial and the structures that we all believe is...
This line is now muted.
And is the number one thing. And then one more thing is if on your pursuit, if you come across any information, any book, any person that has what sounds like maybe a good thing, but it causes you to be afraid, that the information is either wrong or you have a belief system that is being challenged. And so if you come across anything that is fear-inducing, move away from it, because that's not where the truth is. Truth doesn't come from fear. And as far as any little... little examples of things that people can do. No, they're all the only things that I do in my class can't be conveyed on a on a telephone call. I mean, I could do it if you guys could see me, but, you know, I'm sorry. That's about as much as I can offer.
Okay. Moving right along.
Moving right along. What about questions? Do you have any questions?
Sarah, can you hear me?
You can be sure there'll be questions.
Hello?
If you guys want to ask any questions, if you're in the benefactor zone, you have to hit *7 and then type up, say who you are and what you want to ask.
Hello, can you hear me? I'd like to ask a question.
Don't all come in at once.
I don't.
Oh,
Lou in Tucson.
Okay, go ahead.
Lou in Tucson with a question. In recent months, I've been having an experience where I appear to be two of me, where I seem to be observing myself, both of us, outside my body.
Just like Lulu. Like Lulu.
Yeah. Anyway, you have any comments on that? I think Dennis had commented on that once. That phenomenon.
So then, let me understand, Lou. Did you say that there's two of you, or that you're standing outside of yourself, observing your physical body?
Yeah, it's hard to explain, but it's like there are two of me. One of them watching the other one. I really can't articulate that very well.
That is the hard part, is these experiences oftentimes defy communication. One of the things that I've learned is that in the final stages of learning something, that's when I'm able to communicate it. I can't communicate it before I really have it, you know, fully processed, and at that point where I'm ready, you know, I reiterate it, and I go, oh, that's what that is. That's what I've experienced. So in regards to, I can't give you answers, Lou, but I can tell you I've had a couple of experiences, and I think I saw something like this on, somebody was mentioning this kind of phenomena on the Ormus and Spirit list, and my experiences were not so much the experience of duality as it was I could switch from being in my corporeal mind to being in my soulful mind, I guess. And so this happened first time I had just gotten a Reiki initiation from a girlfriend of mine, and we were driving home, but I was a little bit under the weather, so my husband was driving, and I could hear my husband talking, and from my higher, elevated kind of awareness, I processed what he was saying with this ethereal mind, and it wasn't attached to belief systems, and it wasn't attached to, you know, my corporeal mind. And then there was an episode that happened that kind of illustrates that my point. Elderly woman was in the far left lane, the fast lane, going about 10 miles under the speed limit, and my husband cursed and, you know, got stopped and, you know, crazy woman, and I'm thinking, well, you know, that's really dangerous, and she shouldn't do that, and, you know, I'm having all these thoughts, and I go, oh, wait a minute, let me go see what an elevated awareness is going to think. And I moved my consciousness up, and the comment was inappropriate positioning. It was just recognizing that the woman had positioned herself inappropriately. There was no judgment. There was no emotion. Only thing I might suggest, Lou, is if you have done any dialoguing, if you can pull up that, conjure up that experience, even if you're not actively involved in that experience, conjure it up in your mind in a quiet location and look back and forth trying to subjectively feel if there's any differences between the self that is on the bed and the self that is standing next to the bed, and move back and forth. And then if you can find any differences, that's going to be offer you some clues. And you can also start a dialogue between the two selves. Mm-hmm. And I found a dialogue works really well.
Yeah, this is not an out of body, I don't think. I've had those two. Different.
It was different.
Yeah.
Is it really like you're just observing yourself as if you're from somewhere else?
Yeah. The body's there, and then there's two of me outside the body. One of them can be watching the other one outside the body. As I say, I have a hard time explaining.
Okay, so there's two of you outside of the body, but the body is not conscious.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so the experience was from the perspective of the two outside of the body. Well, then, and do a dialogue. You know, there's nothing in the spiritual realm to be afraid of. And, you know, it's your life. Go for it. Go figure out. Go find out. Go ask.
Triggers. I welcome it. I have no fear of it.
I agree.
Anyone else got any questions you want to ask Sharon? Don't forget to unmute yourself. So Sharon, there was a couple other, while we're waiting for someone else to ask you another question, there's a few other people on the list. One thing you said was almost and the familiar feeling you and I talked about. Why don't you talk about that a bit?
Yes, being saturated with Ormus with that that first year of my Ormus experience, I was elated when I would find that the Ormus inside me actually leaped forward when I would be in the presence of somebody who had some awareness, spiritual awareness, or maybe somebody who's been spiritually awakened, and I'm not, you know, I wouldn't put it past part of the experience of Ormus is become spiritually awakened. And I recognize that lurch inside of me because it's exactly what happened in my most early experiences with Ormus. The Ormus, when I was reading, I'd only had like 4 drops of Ormus in two doses, one at night and one the next morning. And I began reading on Barry's website some of the scientific information about Ormus, and it didn't really make any sense to me, but as I'm reading, I get to a couple of words, and the Ormus in me just lurched, and I go, oh, and I paid attention. And that's when Ormus told me that it was the way, basically the way into other dimensions. So when I would be around people who were spiritually awake, the Ormus in me leaped, just like it did when I was reading. It was like a leap of recognition. It began to think, that's how we say that thing, the God in me, Greek, God in you, or something like that. I began saying the Ormus in me recognizes the Ormus in you. People didn't know what I was talking about, but that's exactly what was happening experientially for me. And I think this it transcends physical time, and it transcends this familiarity with others. It transcends space and time, and what we have, what many of us experience on the Ormus list, is a camaraderie that is unlike any other relationship. You get, it's just acceptance and love. We can also have in our family upheaval and you know, for kinds of combative kind of posts, but generally speaking, there is a sense of the Ormus and me responds and recognizes the Ormus and you. And I think, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know how many of us are going to have lifetime friends, but I feel right now that I have friends all over the world, you know, just through this email group. And I've ever had. I think there's something that
can say that last sentence again, please. Just drop that somewhere. Halfway through it.
I said that that the relationships that I have now, and I'm sure you feel the same way, Dennis, could very well be lifetime relationships. Very meaningful. I know that if I ever get to Greece or Spain or Australia, there's just many places that I know that I would be welcome. How about you, Dennis?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, the funny thing is that for myself, I know we've had this conversation a couple of times, Darren. There's been an enormous sense of what I call the Ormus surprise. This huge affinity. There's no real discernible causality factor in this high level of affinity and achievement. I've literally read some people's posts and felt emotional with the sweet recognition of who they are at a soul level. As if I've known them for multiple instances, and I just haven't met them yet. Which is, you know, what I call a tribe. It's, you know, the word weird comes from the original Welsh word weird, W-Y-R-D, which means that people with a common history. And so people have been constantly telling me, you're just weird. I just go, well, yeah, and I tell them what the word weird means, and I go, that's me. I'm someone with a unique history that has commonality with some people, not with others. And
I think that destiny is part of the whole Ormus calling. I think that the Ormus is not for everybody. And that we do have, some of us have a calling. And
yeah.
Maybe that's what gives us that, you know, familiar experience. Barry,
you also wanted to talk about Ormus and essential oil.
Oh, yes. And I don't know if Thomas is going to share with us. Barry was so excited about something that happened when he was at Thomas's. Thomas, are you there? Well,
Thomas
there
has to
are,
unmute himself.
There are finding that being able to identify Ormus in raw cereal is one of the things that benefits after, you know, been so well saturated and intimate with the Ormus experience. I could go to, you know, a wine place and hold a bottle, and I could tell you whether it was, you know, going to be sweet, sour, you know, thin, cork. And, you know, the same is true with the supplements. I could go into the supplement aisle and have, you know, five bottles of Ginkgo, and I could identify which one would be the, I don't know if it's, you know, it's probably all subjective. I can't say for sure that I am indeed fighting the most potent or active. But there's a, Ormus brings things to life. And without that, you just have their nutrients. And so with that, those abilities, it was just an easy step then. I mean, like I can go and plants that are growing that are thriving in some sense will have a lot of Ormus, and I could feel those. So it was just an easy step then for me to discover the Ormus in essential oil, and you can have fragrance. And you may have the kind of nose that identifies the different chemical constituents. And, you know, you can be scientifically astute. But what I wanted in my essential oil was something that went beyond just the fragrance. And I wanted the highest quality. I wanted the energy. You talk about water having energy, Dennis. People who love their plants, you know, and love their jobs and love the, you know, whatever they're producing, that love, you know, is substantial. It is real, and it is imparted, and it becomes a part of the final product. And I didn't want mass-produced, you know, even if it is, quote, organic. So I was able to find oil that came from small farmers around the world and that had very high energy. And it was so beautiful to sit in my office with all the essential oils all around the walls and beside me, and they would talk to me. For instance, let's say you had contacted me, wanted to know what kind of essential oils to get. I would ponder for a while, and they would just come to me. I'd say, okay, he needs X, Y, and Z. And I discovered that most people didn't know that they were feeling. You know, if the one I gave somebody told somebody the appropriate essential oils that their bodies would be a good fit for them, they didn't really recognize how deeply the essential oil was befitting of them. But I did learn that other people could recognize if they put some Ormus-rich salt into their essential oil, and suddenly you could have a product very inexpensively that was Ormus rich, and that most people could then have an Ormus experience from. So a little bit of salt might be whatever container you have. If you fill about 20% with an Ormus rich salt. And now I don't know whether swirling it or percussing it is the appropriate method, but Barry does suggest that your container be filled all the way to the top. So you take your full essential oil bottle, pour some out, add some salt, and then fill up your bottle until you get it all the way to the brim, just before, you know, so that you can replace the cap. And within 24 hours, pretty much, you can test it. And if you're open and you're sensitive to energy, even a little bit, you will feel it. This is especially good with tree oils. Tree sap oil, the tree oils, have much more readily available Ormus than, let's say, herbs. So if you're using sage or you know, what kind of herbs, oils, sage, rosemary, things like that, that you may not have as much of a noticeable Ormus experience, but definitely with frankincense and myrrh. Myrrh is a tough oil to use, though, because it wants to get hard to go back into the resin state. But frankincense, wow. I made a little frankincense oil with some salt, and I like to put it at the brain stem, which is that dimple at the back of the head where the neck and head meet, and I find that any kind of topical ormus in a topical form, if I use that before going to bed, is when I have some very significant and profound ormus dreams, or I'll wake up and either I'll be just very happy, or some life decision or some life thing that's tugging at me will be totally resolved. Doing it before I go to bed, any kind of topical ormus application, really my favorite thing to do. Another thing that with essential oils, I found that there's a particular kind of chemical called sesquiterpene, and all the biblical oils, and not just oils, but botanicals that are mentioned in the Bible, all but one have this chemical. This is something that I stumbled across, and I was like kind of amazed. And I found that the ormus that seemed to have the most, I'm sorry, the essential oils that seemed to have the most ormus in them also had this chemical sesquiterpene. So if you want more information on essential oils and a list of oils that are known to have this, you can email me, and I'm going to presume that somebody will forward my email address to you, but I'll give it to you now. It's called, my email address is mstatewirlies, and that would be mstatewirlies@yahoo.com. And if you don't catch that, I'm sure Dennis can help you out.
You're always posting on the list anyway, so your emails or texts are always your posts.
Yes, and I'm presuming that everybody here on the call is a member of the Ormus list too, so just in case they're not. Somehow they got this information to be on this call, so someplace you can backtrack and find me. And there's one more thing that happened is I found that maybe it's magnetic field, you know, active magnetic field activates the and excites the ormus in the essential oil. So I've had that experience both with frankincense and with ginger. Ginger was very potent with the ormus. And now I believe we have one more essential oil story. But I believe Thomas had an experience with rose oil. And I didn't speak with him personally, so I can't relate that story. But back in the days when I did have my essential oil business, I asked some of the alchemists to make, if they could make an ormus product using essential oils, and it was only just a few drops. But I sent a vial with a blend of the highest quality, energetic quality of lavender, helichrysum, and rose. And this would be pure rose essential oil and not an absolute. And the pure rose oil is very, very expensive. And it was a blend of equal parts. And two alchemists picked me up on that. One was Chaz of Priestess Alchemy, and the other one was Don Nance of Ocean Alchemy. And I have to say that Chaz's product really smells good, but Don's product didn't have any smell, not real discernible smell. But when I applied, and when I used his product, I got such an image of rose. No helichrysum and no lavender, just the rose. The rose came through so powerful. I thought he had done something, and I accused him. I said, what did you do? I thought maybe he was a magician or something. You know, I didn't do anything. And there's a rose is supposed to be one of those just truly magical. I mean, we can, you know, we know Baby Jesus got frankincense and myrrh, but there's something going on with rose that I don't understand, but I like it. I like my name being Sharon Rose, and so I'd like to think that it's pretty phenomenal. Well, that's it, Jennifer. That's the last of my essential oil stories.
Sharon, can you hear me?
What?
Is there any questions anyone have of Sharon so far?
I have a question.
It's even stuff you might want to find out about in your own experience.
Don't think Sharon can
hear.
Oh, I guess not.
No, we have an oracle.
I hear you.
Yeah.
We hear each other, but they don't hear us.
How many of us
you know, Dennis, I wanted to say
one,
that Ormus rewired my brain.
Three.
And
four. Barry, are you
and
one of us?
Yes, but I'm not talking because I'm trying to listen to her and record.
Astounded and grateful, you know, for that opportunity and for that. And I've had I had about a half a dozen personal emails since you posted my information on the site, on the different groups. And I think that a lot of people who might be interested in some of the more tender and heart-wrenching experiences I've had may not feel comfortable opening up to, you know, whether they're on this call or not, I don't know, but I always get the sense that, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff is private. And I feel real strongly, absolutely, that if it weren't for Ormus, I would not have had the ability, you know, one, to be here on this call, also to consider myself a whole and complete person. When a person goes through very early childhood trauma that causes deep psychological problems, be able to say that a substance, which I believe is more than a substance, more like a phenomena, but a substance can allow the brain to reroute neurological pathways and correct damage that was done. There's no amount of psychological counseling and therapy that could have done that. The transmutation of love, deep love that is able to transcend and transmute, could have done that. But in the absence of that, Ormus is what did that for me. And I wanted to share that because if there are people that have, on this call, that have childhood issues, that have any kind of issues, maybe you don't even know you have childhood issues, but feel that there are things that are missing, then I want to, you know, invite you to contact me. I have a small group forum, and I would invite you to join, and it's called Personal Development Support Group, and we have a lot of shy people, But privately, many of them write to me and tell me, you know, that belonging to that group is helpful and meaningful to them. So I just want to put that out there.
Will the shy people speak up now, please? Will the shy people make themselves up?
That sounds great, Sharon.
It's just, it sounds right. Like you created a real sweet support forum there. What address you want to tell us on the call? How to get into that forum?
They need to talk to me personally, and that would be M State Whirly, WHIRLIES. M-State Whirlies at yahoo.com. The reason that it's M-State is because back in the earlier days, we didn't call it Ormus. I mean, it went from Ormus to, you know, other things, but M-State was one of the ways that we, you know, we referred to Ormus. Now it's hardly used at all. And the reason that it's Whirlies is because if you get a heavy dose of Ormus, kind of makes you lightheaded. We theorize that's because it's opening up pathways in your brain that are not normally used, and that sense of increased spaciousness is what causes the subjective experience of feeling kind of loopy. But it's transient. It goes away.
One of the things that you did say a couple of times was that your first few Orms experience really opened up some pathway somehow for you. From my point of view, there seems to be like a threshold. And I, for instance, when I started making ocean Orms, I was taught by a lady called Dr. Jen, who's a friend of mine. And I just started taking it every day. Every day I'd have like a quarter to a half a cup of precipitate. I was just into it. And there was a certain period where just some things became more apparent to me. You said that you had some almost some that Jim made that somehow crossed you over that threshold. Do you want to talk about that?
Glad to. I think what it does is it get an opportunity to reorganize the way that we perceive. So let's say that we perception is receptors. Okay, we have, you know, receptors of perception. And the ones that we've used actively get into the forefront of our subjective experience. And so we generalize our experience according to which receptors are we receiving this on. And Ormus brings out the more withdrawn, intuitive perceptors, receptors. And in so doing, it changes our point of view. And that's what happened with me. I got an opportunity to, you know, most children are aware of their own psychic abilities. They believe in things that we as adults tend to dismiss. And I think we return more to that awareness and more to that magical, mystical perception. And when you're in that state, you know, you can see things so incredibly different. Makes things come alive, you know, our vision. Many people talk about their vision becoming more acute, and people talk about their hearing. But those are just the outward perceptions. Inner perceptions become more acute as well. I think that's why my animal communication, rather than it being, in order to move into a space to communicate with animals, it was an active
thing. And after Ormus, it was a passive thing. I could literally be driving down the street, not paying attention to an animal, and hear that animal, and have to turn my head. Or, same true is as anybody in a car next to me, or whatever. So I think our receptors change. How we perceive. Did that answer your question?
Well, partly. I've noticed sometimes in traffic, I will know that a person's going to move.
This line is now muted.
Before they do, before they give any indication whatsoever. And I started observing the fact that somehow I was getting tuned into the people around me.
That's right.
I think that's mostly what you talked about in that.
Exactly. That's fairly. And also, those abilities to be tuned into those things also is a reflection that you're being tuned into yourself. You cannot tune into the outside world without having equal measure of tuning within. So your what we think that we're understanding in the outside world is really just a reflection of us understanding ourselves internally. Ormus is such a lovely, beautiful, great internal journey. And when we have experiences outside, you know, those are the little jewels that we want to raise up, and, you know, that everybody recognizes. But the hard parts, like Blue said, are those internal experiences. And yeah, those are much, much more hard, much more difficult to pinpoint and express.
Anyone else want to break with their shyness and ask a question? You probably want to have to hit star 7 before you do.
Star 7. You know, you don't have to ask a question. You can share something, too. Yeah. Oh, Well, I want to thank you.
This line is now unmuted.
And you've just been great, by the way. You're such a superstar at this.
I thank you.
Yeah. So, what a great opportunity for everybody.
Well, I just did it from selfish motives.
Well, I know, you're incredibly selfish. That's exactly how...
This line is now unmuted.
That's all selfish.
I get it. I just wanted to pick the brains of the most interesting people on the list. And I thought, how could I do that? And how could I communicate with all these alchemists and understand them? How am I going to get entryway to them? And so I saw that Barry needed an income flow, and I thought, well, kill two birds with one stone. And so here I am, killing those birds. And getting to talk to the most interesting people.
Yes, and you're furthering the Ormus community.
Yeah.
You are, yes, you're really stitching us. I mean, these phone calls are an opportunity to, when you hear somebody's voice, so much different than just reading their words, and you get an opportunity, we get an opportunity to further our connections with people through the use of sound. Now, I'm really looking forward to, I don't know how you're going to do this, but we need to get these people on video next, okay?
Well, soon. You
up for the challenge?
Soon there's going to be video conferences that I can be able to access. There'll be live video streaming. I'm just checking into the front of things at the moment.
Are you truly?
No, seriously, that's going to happen.
How fun!
People can just tap into a video conference. It will happen.
Wow.
Watch.
I shall. I look forward to it.
We're going to have Ormus video classrooms.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Prefer to lie.
What?
Prefer to lie.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm dropping line two now.
Very kind of doing a tutorial live.
Yeah.
Live in video.
Could you record the end? So
right
I
from
can
his glasses.
On the recording?
Yes.
Because I won't be able to hear it again.
Okay.
Thank you. Did I hear your voice, Barry?
Yes. Do you hear me now?
I hear you now.
Yes, Mike. You've said nothing so far, hardly.
I was unable to say anything. For some reason, I was muted. I think I was on the other call, so I just dropped the other line, the free room.
Okay.
I don't know if Thomas is still on here. Huh?
Thomas, are you still on?
But I'd sure like to hear his story. I did see his rose oil one evening when I was there. He took some rose oil and put it on his...
Is that you, Thomas?
It's me.
Okay, tell the story, Thomas.
Well, I have a small bottle of rose oil. I emphasize small because, as Sharon said, it's very, very expensive when you get the really high-quality stuff. And it's maybe 6 or 8 inches from the top of my magnetic crown. I noticed while Jerry was here that the oil was gelled. And it seems to be independent of temperature because it was colder and liquid and silver and tense now. It's gelled. It's still gelled. It's peculiar. I mean, it seems to...
And what does that mean? Is it gelled, Thomas? What does that mean?
It's all my other oils, you know, are liquid in the bottle. I can see that there's, you know, I can turn them up and they go to the top of the bottle, but not this rose oil.
And what does that indicate to you?
Well, what struck the chord with me was that I had sat through Barry's workshop. Two weekends in a row, and he had told the story about Jim working in his garage and having an electrical workman's truck sitting there for a month or so, and he came back and tried to start it, and the gasoline had gelled and had little flecks of gold in it. So I'm sort of curious, although it's very expensive to kind of take out and kind of smear around a little bit, but I'm hoping there's little flakes of gold in it, too. It seems to have gelled just like that gasoline.
Did you try it? Did you use it? Did you feel any Ormus content in it?
Well, in fact, that's why we got looking at it, because I had put some on when we came home from the presentation, and we were sitting there at our respective computers, and I was just having what you would call the whirly experience. Or a Kundalini experience. I mentioned how high energy that rose oil was. And we got looking at it, and it looked peculiar. I think it's absorbed some of the Ormus. I think Ormus likes to be in high energy places like rose oil, and like, as you mentioned, frankincense, and some of the other oils, especially the ones with that particular. That's what
serves me, as you said. Well, you got products from that website that I gave you the information on, right?
Yes, in fact, it is.
I'm not saying that they're the only high-quality, energetically high-quality essential oils around, but... They were, most of the oils that I got from there had a high level of energy to them. I'm anxious now that you have shared that experience to now go back and order some rose oil. So I want to feel it too.
Thomas's water is very high energy, has a lot of Ormus in it. And just drinking that water, Thomas's hair has gone from considerably more gray to considerably less gray. And that was one of the characteristics that was attributed to the water in the legends of the Indian princess that drank the water and remained youthful for into her 80s, I guess.
If only I can set pure gold here.
Yeah. And so he's trapping from this spring that has this legendary spring that was considered to be possibly the fountain of youth by who checked it out?
That hearing various presentations again, as many, well, I heard it twice last year. There's so much new stuff that I hadn't heard, and now I want to modify my traps and make sure that I have a toroid magnetic field and put magnets on the bottom and blah 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 and all do all this stuff. And it's because I sat and listened to various lectures. I think it's a great presentation, and anybody who has the chance to hear it ought to. And I'm a little disappointed we had such a poor turnout, all in all, but we had a great time, and I sure did learn a lot. And I want to thank Barry publicly for coming.
Well, thank you. Well, one other thing about your water is that when you run it in a trap, it seems to possibly get out of the trap. Now, Sharon, you mentioned that you could see it around the trap, right? The ormus?
I can. Yeah, sometimes I can see ormus as these plumes of mist or smoke.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we think happened is that it got out of Thomas's trap and in through the sealed bottle, the sealed rose oil bottle, and that's what caused the gelling of the oil.
And that definitely happens. A lot of things that we think are just naturally, you know, escaping, like different oils and, you know, honey. Raw honey is more likely to get out of its container than honey that's been purified.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had oil like the frankincense that was magnetically charged. It kept getting out, and it was just, I mean, why am I wasting all of this? I kept getting angry at my husband because I thought he was being really sloppy. But he wasn't. It was just getting out.
Mm-hmm.
How do you define getting out?
Well, sometimes getting out means that you find your product, your liquid, outside of the container. You know, like a ring or, you know, on the side. But other times, getting out means that it gets partially out of, it goes right through the glass, and but then it stops getting out and it breaks your glass. I've had lots of broken glass.
Really?
Where, yeah.
Tell us about some of
that. Breaking honey.
I haven't had a lot of honey experience, so, but I just, it's just something that I've witnessed, you know, now and again. But the ormus, I was using the EM and the paramagnetic rock dust. I did a lot of experiments for a time, maybe like 6 months, when I was living in Washington. And the paramagnetic rock dust and EM. EM is a soil microbe that are in a special kind of formulation. And I recognize, I'm familiar with this product more. I mean, I became aware of this product before I became aware of ormus. When I learned about ormus, I then I understood that this product had qualities that were not, you know, that were like, you know, phenomenal kind of qualities, like magnetic resonance and something else. There was, they were these microbes. I could feel their energy. I could almost feel their consciousness. So after I learned about Ormus, and part of the posts that were going on at the time had to do with the paramagnetic rakta. And I don't really understand what that is, but I know that there are products out there that people can suggest. And I always refer to the Purigenic company as the Ormus company. Purigenic, I don't know, Purigenic.com. But I mixed through a inspiration, a Ormus kind of inspiration, I mixed the rock dust with a little bit of the soil-based microbes inoculant and put them in water, and 3 days I tested it, and it was so powerful, I had to go sit down, and for like 15 to 20 minutes, I was unable to talk or move. I just could sit there. Inside, I was jumping up and down saying, oh, I just made something, and I don't know what it is, but it is so powerful. And while I was doing those experiments, I broke a lot of glasses because I would store the water from different batches that I was making, trying different kinds of rock dust. I would store them in my drinking glasses and then put wax paper and a rubber band over the top. And lo and behold, they would either leak out or I would look at the bottom and the bottom would be cracked. So I probably went through about, six glasses got broken that way.
So what do you attribute that? Is it holding too much energy? Have you given any kind of like logical explanation you can be happy with? If your mind can go,
well,
Barry
offers an explanation having to do with the ability of these products or these things to tunnel. And they get partially tunneled through, and I'm less capable of discussing the science. I mean, that's a question. There are answers, but that's part of the science of Ormus, the kind of like weird sort of science behind Ormus.
So
go ahead, Barry.
I suspect that it's like Josephson tunneling, where an electron can go through an electron barrier by going around it into another dimension and then coming back on the other side. And it's fundamentally the same thing, I think, as teleportation. Literally, the Ormus is teleporting through the glass. Sometimes it makes it all the way through, and sometimes it only makes it partway through. If it makes it partway through, it's rematerializing inside the glass, and that causes a bubble of the material in the glass, which causes a fracture in the glass, and eventually these fractures build up until there's enough of them that the glass will break.
And this is not something, that just happened with me. It's happened fairly consistently with other people as well.
Lots of people have reported it.
Phenomena. Yeah, it is an enormous phenomena. And I do believe that my first communication from Ormus, that Joseph tunneling was one of the first communication I had from Ormus said that I am the way. The image that I got with those words was that of a tunnel. And then the subsequent, I questioned the motive. I didn't understand Ormus communicating with me. And I questioned its motive, and it said something like, I am the way into other dimensions, or I don't really remember my exact experience. I have it written down. And I think that that's the, at the absolute core of Ormus, is that ability to be multidimensional, which we all are, but we aren't aware of it. And we can, I believe it's not even just plausible and possible, but that we are more involved and committed we are to our Ormus journey, the more likely that we will be presented with some rather odd personal experiences of, you know, transcending what we think are limitations.
Yesterday,
okay.
Yesterday when I was talking with Jim, he told me about the closeness of other dimensions to our dimension. And then he said the Ormus seems to be the bridge between them, or a connector between them. And that fits well with your perception of it being like the way to get to other dimensions, or a tunnel to other dimensions.
My intuitively, what I've pursued, when I'm the more aware I become of these different kinds of phenomena, the more experiences I have, it also changes and alters how I think of and relate to Ormus. And when I think of, maybe a year or so ago, I began thinking of this third dimension. We think of the physical and spiritual as being, you know, side by side, and we just go from one to the other. But I realize that we have, like the tides, we have a third tide. We have the incoming tide, the outgoing tide, and then we have the slack tide. And most of us don't consider the slack tide. But I think that that's where Ormus dominates, is in that dimension that is just between our physical and our spiritual. And it is like a portal. You know, so we easily go from one dimension into another. And I'm so glad that that he says that.
I recorded him saying that, so I'll see if I can put the audio, edit it down so that I got the audio and put it where people can hear it.
I'm interested, Barry, did you get a sense that that Jim has, his consciousness has changed since, you know, the last time you met him and talked to him?
Yes. Jim seems to be a lot more focused on spiritual things and working with his technology to bring about beneficial changes for the world.
Now that's the power of one.
Right.
Precisely. I said recently that the healing in Ormus doesn't stop. We may stop actively pursuing it and embracing it, but it doesn't stop. It doesn't know how to stop.
There you go.
Yeah. So if everyone, go ahead.
If we don't have any more questions, we can stop the call.
Yeah, well, we do have that power, huh?
Unless anyone else wants to pipe up and add anything or ask anything, we're going to pull the plug. So here's
All
your
right.
last opportunity.
Sharon, this is Tim in Oklahoma.
Hi, Tim.
How are you?
Good.
I'm enjoying listening to the call. I've got some questions. I know you got the background in the essential oils, and you mentioned a couple of things in relation to the Bible. There were several different compounds that were discussed in the scriptures. One was for purifying the holy things around the temple. The other was a perfume. And the perfume in particular was mentioned to put before the presence. So it had something to do with, I believe, with drawing down a spiritual atmosphere. Have you done anything with the compounds that are mentioned in those verses? Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
I've looked over some of the compounds, but no, I haven't worked specifically with them. I did notice, like I said, that all of the botanicals mentioned that I could locate, mentioned that were in the Bible, mentioned in any form, all except cinnamon or cassia, have one chemical in the, you know, the same, the sesquiterpene. So the only one that doesn't would be the cinnamon. And cinnamon is really high in phenols, and phenols are very, very purifying. So I did find cinnamon to be a prime ingredient in the ointment used to purify, I don't know my Bible, so I'm sorry, I'm trying to answer something that I'm probably not informed
about. Well, one of the ingredients was cassia, which is from the cinnamon tree, and then of course the olive oil, and let's see. Can't remember the other one. Frankincense was used in one thing, but not in the perfume. And it was the one that was the perfume is one I've been interested in, because I think that what you described about the rose oil attracting the ormus, I think that was the whole purpose of that perfume, that it was actually drawing into it from another dimension. And
yes.
Filling the whole room with the presence of a spiritual atmosphere.
And the word perfume meant something different in those days than it does now. You know, we think of a perfume and it's kind of like is degraded, but there were no, in those days, there were no products that were used for any kind of frou-frou. Everything has meaning. And so perfumes have served purpose, not just to, you know, get rid of a smell or attract a neighbor.
Well, part of what always intrigued me in the passage in Ezekiel, where that is mentioned, it was only allowed to be used by the priest, and it violated a spiritual principle if they just made it as a normal perfume to wear for their own pleasure. And so there is something, I think, that it has to be holy in the person or the group of people that are using it. And more I'm finding this whole ormus community is shifting from the what you started out talking about, shifting from just the history and the science of it into really trying to embrace the spiritual changes within ourselves. And I think as the community does that, the whole intent is not just to be a loving and giving community, but to really become as holy as we understand. There's probably different definitions of what that is, each person, but it's still, that's the purity of the alchemy. That's why the alchemists always said that this had to be applied as a personal change, not just chemical changes. And,
it sounds to me like you've done.
It sounds to me like you've been involved with Ormus for a while. Is that what I understand?
One of my friends calls me an Ormus generator.
I don't know.
I don't use that term to advertise myself anyway, but I've had some strange experiences that were not planned. And when I found Barry and the Ormus site, it brought some meaning to some of the things that I had experienced but didn't have a name for it. I've had a couple of occasions where I've been speaking at a place and flakes of gold would rain down in the room. And they were...
Wow!
It was very fun, but then you go, well, why is this happening now? I can't seem to make that stuff happen at will. It has something to do with the with my spirit and with the communication going on in the group sometimes. I've had a few tough times where I've had something manifest that I rarely can do that for myself, but I can sometimes just really pray and ask for something for someone else, and it comes immediately. I've had three times where I've been translated, where I've had either, I'm not sure if I could call it a total translocation of space, but it was like a speeding up of time. The first time it happened, I was on my way back from El Paso, and I live in Oklahoma City. And it's normally a 13-hour drive, and I made it in about 7 hours. And there's no explanation for what happened. There was no sense while we were going with, you know, that we were traveling at an unreasonable rate of speed.
Were you doing anything specific to produce that transdimensional shift?
Well, I needed to get back. I had been speaking at a church with a group, and it had just been very, very healing for a number of folks, so we had stayed about 3 hours longer than we had intended. And I had to get up early the next morning, and as I got in my car, I drove about 3 hours and then got really exhausted, and my wife took over. And when she got behind the wheel, I just put my head on the pillow and said, I'm going to sleep a little while, and because I knew we were going to be driving all night. And I just simply wished, I just said, oh, man, I wish there was a way we could just get home faster. And didn't really do that in a way that I thought was going to affect anything. It was just a simple desire. And suddenly we were about Alamogordo, New Mexico at that time. When I woke up, we were on the east side of Amarillo. And what was even stranger about it is our car would normally get about 300 miles per gallon, or 300 miles to a full tank of gas. And we had gone over 600 miles without having to stop for gas in that time period that things sped up. And we still had over half a tank of fuel. And so something had transpired both of us knew was just totally out of the ordinary. Not long after that, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was given the recipe for the... what they called the, it's not just this perfume, but it's the bread of the presence, what's mentioned in the scriptures. They would actually set bread out in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And the ingredients listed in the scriptures, but in this dream I had, gold was an ingredient that I saw in the dream. And that's not one of the ones listed in the Bible, but the guy that made it in the scriptures, it is mentioned about him that he was an artificer of metal. And so there's something, he was basically what we would have termed an alchemist. And so I thought that there is, you know, even before the Ormus community came in about, there was a real sense that I had that gold had a... very unique place, and that same, within months after I had that dream, this whole conversation began to circulate with the fact that gold could be made into an organic state. What I found is not just the gold. I think that I really believe that each one of us has the ability to manufacture the ornaments. I think the whole fact that we've got life within us, and we're spirit, soul, and body, that our spirit especially has the capability of drawing the ornaments to ourselves and manufacturing it. And I do think ingesting it is kind of a catalyst for that. But I think that part of being in a spiritual state means that you have the capability of releasing it from within. And everybody I know that's sensitive or, you know, has tapped into their own spiritual abilities, I think that's a lot of what's happened. It's the potential's in all of us. It's just the belief, and the more you use it, the more it grows. You know?
Would you be willing to do a mid-month conference call?
Sure. I'd be honored to do that. I mean, I'm loving these things. This is, to me, much better than just the email, because we get that group sense with us, you know. I have much more fun listening than just reading.
Well, send me an...
I'm usually pretty quiet on the... I pay attention every day to the email list, but I'm pretty quiet. I don't post very much. Not because I'm not willing to, but just because I like to really see what everybody else is saying. And when I know I have something worth sharing, I'll toss it out there. But in this kind of context, I would very much enjoy that.
Good. I'd really like to have you give us a perspective from your understanding of the Bible and give us some more information about some of these oil combinations and perfumes, and also a bit more of your experience driving home and the gold and the church and all of that. That sounds like a great thing to talk about.
Yeah, we did have one of these things. There's a little speck. My wife and I both occasionally will wake up in the morning and we'll have little flakes. When it first started, it was always gold. Now it's more other colors. My wife very often has a reddish color. They look like glitter. I mean, when you look at them, they're the same size composition of glitter.
Mm-hmm.
But we've tasted them, and they're very sweet when you taste them. But they disappear. You don't do anything with it. You can. We tried to pick them up and put them on a piece of paper or keep them, and most of the time they disappear before the next day.
Sounds like manna.
We ate one. What was interesting is they started lasting longer. We had one that my wife was able, she put it in a little piece of wax paper, and it stayed visible for 6 months or so. And they're not something we're purposely trying to create. They just appear, you know, and they're coming from the atmosphere somehow. But I've experienced about three occasions where that's happened in a group atmosphere. Or a group setting where it's been visible by everyone. The first time, and most of the time in that case, it's gold. One time speaking, it was just all over my shoulders. It wasn't all over the room. But it was almost like dandruff. It was just appearing and seemed to be more coming off my head.
Well, we're going to look forward to hearing you talk about this more. And we're going to look forward to it more if you save some for next time.
Yeah, the one thing I want to ask Sharon while we got her is part of the thing that I'm looking at from a personal growth perspective is when these kinds of things have happened, they've often been at random. They don't seem to be something I can just generate at will. And I want to know, do you think that is because of my own journey, or is that just normal for everybody?
You'll grow into that. I think that
I think that I've said on the forum before that my vision is that Ormus came back to this time and to these people for a reason. There are no accidents. And I recognized I had an experience, an Ormus experience last week. And after that, I realized that we as a collective group and we as individuals have a kind of a responsibility to become empowered, but empowerment without enlightenment doesn't work. We have to, and you are already there. You are already so far beyond most of us in terms of your ability to love and to be in that high energy state, you and your wife, that you're just creating all of these enormous things. And the next step would be to be more active. And it's not a matter of, you know, thy will be done. And it's not a matter of making it your own will. It's a matter of becoming aware of when you are moving into those spaces. You know, you created that trip home, and just by asking the question, just by letting out the desire, and we have, you know, I have a desire for when I die, that when I transcend, that I know that something in my life contributed to the evolution of humanity, even if it's just a small part. This is my reason for living. And in that pursuit, it's then a life pursuit. I'm learning about empowerment now. And I think that we need to help transmute the negativity, not only in ourselves, but what we see in the world. And you're going to get there. You are on this call and sharing with us because you have the same kinds of questions that all of us have. And together, you know, I don't care if there's only four people on this call or two people on this call. You know, there's that connection to use the gift that we are becoming aware of to, you know, the betterment of future generations. Amen. Oh, that's it.
Good morning, everyone. This is Siegfried. I just signed on about 30 minutes ago.
Hi, buddy. I was wondering where you were.
Well, I had a pretty interesting day yesterday, and I actually overslept this morning. My alarm clock did not go off for some reason. Maybe it wasn't supposed to. I don't know. But anyway, I'm glad I made it into at least the last part.
Welcome. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, see, Bertie, you sound so clear. You must be in America right now.
No, I'm in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong,
very, very clear.
Yeah, it's 8:53 here in the morning, and I came on about 8:25, something like that. So I've been here about that last 30 minutes.
Well, then you heard the recent stories and. Did you say Tim?
Yes, Tim.
Tim.
Yes, I find that quite interesting because I've had a few similar experiences to the travel part of what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. I've had situations where it appears like my car, it starts dark on the outside, it lights up on the inside of it, but I hear no noise, and I'm traveling down the road, and sometime later, it seems like the car lands again. It's like the car is actually in the air, flying.
Well,
flying. It's not connected to the road. And
that
happened several times to me.
Did it speed up in time?
Yes.
Did it actually get somewhere faster?
Yes. And it was like I don't know what happened to the time. It was just all of a sudden I was back to Earth, you know. But I was in a very spiritual frame of mind, a prayerful or meditative spiritual kind of thought process. When it's like the car actually just leaves the ground, and I can't see anything outside. There's a light inside the car, but, you know, when I come back, I don't know where, I don't remember seeing the space in between. So I can fully understand what you said there, in traveling from El Paso back to Oklahoma City. I've had it happen two or three times when I was traveling long distances.
Rochelle has also noted to me that she can compress time when she travels, and she says that it happens regularly enough that she relies on it somewhat.
Well, excellent.
I had a very interesting thing happen to me this week. One of my older daughters in the States, she's been married for, I think, 10 or 12 years, I think, and they've been trying to have a child for quite a long time, and they've never been able to. She's miscarried four or five times. And so I suggest to her, why doesn't she try to adopt a Chinese baby? And they, by the way, she just recently started taking Ormus products. And they found out this week that, I mean, they were sent the name of a child from China. But the thing about it is, the normal process takes about 14 months. And this has happened within five months. And she had, I mean, of course, her mind is definitely on this. And the focus of her thoughts. And she sat down and wrote a letter to this child before knowing anything about it. She just said, we're going to come get you before December. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you know that you have some parents that are looking for you. And what happened was that she was in a dream given a name. And she started addressing this child by that name. And this week she got some notice. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with me particularly, except that I've been helping her with this, because I went up to the Chinese Children's Adoption Agency up in China to see what the procedure would be for her to do this. Of course, they have a big procedure they have to do in the States, which she started, but she's already been told that, you know, she's got to wait about a year. But all of a sudden, things really speeded up in that area. But interestingly enough, when she got this fax from the Chinese government, they sent her two pictures of this one little girl who had been just abandoned. And the name that my daughter had used was on this paper.
Wow.
Along with the picture of the child. And it was a name that was made up by the Chinese government just to give the child a name. They don't know who her parents were. And it's the same exact name that my daughter had, which was Mei Ai.
Hmm.
Mei Ai. And
that's
a phenomenal thing that happened in my life this week. And I think it has to do with Ormus and how it sets your mind to the manifestation of exactly what your heart's desire is. And, you know, more and more things like this happen in my life all the time. It's almost scary sometimes.
Now, that's a subject I want to discuss, and that's Ormus and manifestation. Let's have a little chat about that. I'm up.
I'm up.
Me too.
I've
been getting a lot of it.
We're,
who wants to start?
We're running at 2.5 hours now.
Are we?
Uh-huh.
Maybe we should have Ormus and Manifestation on another call.
Yeah, I think that's probably
that's
better because I think if you had a lot of people talking about it, there would be lots of stories of people that this is beginning to happen more and more in the lives of more and more people as they become attuned with Ormus in their life. And so I'd like to hear a lot of the stories that other people are having. I have a, you know, a notebook full of incidents that happened to me.
So rather than having
here's a little thing that I'd like to put out, and that is to start practicing by saying some things and watching how fast it manifests. And one of the things I've been practicing on is the weather.
You know, this shows the secret.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting little video. We started employing a lot of the principles of that in my family with my daughters, and it's amazing that when you focus, especially if you're within your own personal Ormus realm, how fast these things start happening.
Yes,
it's really quite amazing. I'm not particularly promoting the secret, except that it does focus one's mind to the methodology of asking and then receiving, and how to do that.
How to let it in.
So I think Ormus is like the fuel for that process.
Yeah. So Dennis, rather than have a guest speaker, we could have a topic. Right?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. That's a great idea.
Topics with specific known contributors. Barry, Sharon, Sigberta, even Dennis might pipe up.
So a panel.
Thomas, guaranteed Thomas will be on that call. And we want to make sure that Don Mann and Danae on that call, if we can get Danae to speak for less than half an hour.
Well, we want Tim.
Yeah,
yes, Tim
has to be there.
Absolutely.
Good, that's a good idea.
When he was speaking about these gold flakes, I found that quite interesting because, I never thought much of it, but a few times in my life, I had noticed little sparkles, embedded in my skin. Didn't think much of it. I thought maybe it was something else. But now that he mentioned that, I'm saying, good grief, that's happened a number of times in my life, too.
Well, speaking of coincidence, I've been called a gold flake myself.
Yeah, there is a rosy and talking about
gold is Jim. Now, clearly, Jim is a major gold freak.
Yes.
Is he on the call tonight?
No, but he has indicated that he might be willing to do this. We may have to bring him up to speed slowly, but.
I noticed the posts about him, and I thought that was quite interesting. I thought he was out of the picture, but I'm glad to know that he's back in. Doing things.
Yep.
So odd we haven't talked about it while you were here.
I know.
Wow.
Speaking of coincidences.
You manifested it.
Yeah.
Manifested it, Barry.
Duh. Yeah, for sure.
Well, this is wonderful. I'm just so happy to be a part of this great community. I think
when I signed on, it said that there were 16 people on the benefactors call.
Good.
Yeah, not many, but a quality crew.
Well, 16, but most of them are being quiet, so.
I want to say thank you, Sharon, for a wonderful, wonderful talk and a wonderful responses to our questions. And I just really appreciate all of you, all of the things that you've done and your intuitive approach to this.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate being appreciated. Alright, well, I'm gonna go then, okay?
Okay. Before you go, Dennis, I'd like to do some housekeeping stuff.
Sure.
Okay.
Alright. Goodbye,
and I guess I'll sign off too. Thanks, Sharon.
Bye now.
My pleasure.
Bye bye.
The moderator has disconnected.
There they go.
Okay, good. Dennis,
yes, mate.
For some reason, when I joined the two calls, I could no longer speak and nobody in the other room could speak at all. And
oh, really?
It may have had to do with things being muted or something. I would like to try doing this without muting things.
Okay.
Without a moderator's muting them, and see if that clears it up. It seems like this call was quieter. And
yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And in fact, so was last call. So I'm gonna not mute the call as a moderator anymore.
Yeah. Well, let's just try that. And I don't know why the other room was disconnected, but it sure didn't work for a while. So we'll try this and see if this helps. I think I got a pretty good recording. It's probably good that I didn't speak during Sharon's main presentation because my voice somehow is a lot louder on the recording than anybody else's. And I've adjusted it so that everybody else's is at a normal level, but mine will be just real loud. So, anyway, good show.
Well, I reckon this is a great call.
Yes.
Dennis, thank you. That was really great. David and I really listened.
Yeah, thank you.
This was our first one. Brilliant. Thank you.
It was just, I didn't expect it was going to be as good and as sweet as an uplifting. But then I did make the intention in my shower before I went to bed last night that this would be the best call I've ever had. And I'm going, no, that's not going to be possible. No, it's the best call we've ever had. And you know, they keep getting better.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good, thanks. Yeah, excellent.
Go ahead, David. So listen, I'm going to bail. So I can talk amongst yourselves if you like.
Okay, see you then. Bye.
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 Bye now. See you, Barry.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Moderator has disconnected.
Anyone left?